Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hello.
Hi.
Today we're going to be playing Tiny Towns, designed by Peter McPherson and developed by Josh Wood. Published by AEG, and I like that they kind of highlight their developers.
I also think that Josh Wood was the one who taught us Ecos at Gen Con this year.
It was not, but he's the one who designed Cat Lady.
Okay. Mm-hmm, oh, you're right. Mm-hmm. I have his signature on a box of Cat Lady.
The artists, the rulebook lists Gong Studios for art. That's interesting. And Matt Paquette for graphic design. But Matt Paquette is listed as artist on BGG. And he's done Thunderstone Quest, Mystic Veil, Call to Adventure, and Ecos, and Bosque, which is good.
All good.
The description is, you are the mayor of a tiny town in the forest in which the smaller creatures of the woods have created a civilization hidden away from predators. This new land is small and the resources are scarce, so you take what you can get and never say no to building materials. Cleverly plan and construct a thriving town and don't let it fill up with wasted resources. Whoever builds the most prosperous tiny town wins. And the mechanic is pattern building.
Yeah, which I don't think. We might have played games with pattern building, but I don't think we've played a game on the podcast with pattern building.
And the box art looks like kind of a little village, town square kind of thing. Maybe like a European village.
Yeah, I would say a cartoon medieval European village.
I don't even know that it looks that medieval. It looks, I mean, other than that one sign, it kind of just looks like a more modern town.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me think medieval still, though, is like there doesn't seem to be a lot of technology in the picture.
Yeah, kind of, but it kind of reminds me of like you know, an old town, like a carless town. Like it's a modern, set in the current day, but it's, you know, an old.
It also seems sort of Swiss with all the mountains
it's
in the background.
Kind of what it made me think of, like one of their carless towns.
Yeah. I actually didn't know that there were animals involved in this game. I thought it was just like you were a tiny town and it was full of people, but
that threw me off when I said that.
Yeah. It threw me off last night when I was making the show notes.
Wait, Switzerland has towns that are carless?
Yeah. Müller and Enfingen are.
Huh.
Those are just two I went to, so.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, they're not entirely carless. There are, like, you know, service vehicles, but at least in the ones I went to, there might be some that are even smaller that don't actually even have full size roads. But
I'm totally intrigued by this now.
All right. Well, what's your history?
What's your take?
Well, we didn't get our box. Yeah.
You're jumping ahead, Kiwi. You're jumping ahead. Yeah.
Well, I want to hear about her history of carless towns.
I don't have a history of carless towns. I am intrigued and we'll have to do some research.
What's your take on the art, though, BP? Since
I mean, I'm still going with that. It's got this European medieval village thing and cartoony. I mean, it looks cute. It looks like, you know, for me, the cartoon aspect is like the Saturday morning cartoons, you know, that you would grow up watching. So, I mean, it looks intriguing.
So based on this, would you pull it off the shelf?
I mean, I picked it out.
Have been obsessed with this game.
I've been wanted to play this game since I heard about it.
I think since you saw it on
I think Game the Game. With Becca Scott and a couple other people she was playing with. I think Gina DeVrio was also on there.
Yeah. We wanted to play this one at Gen Con, but we just kept missing it. I think Kiwi, I could have played it, but Kiwi wasn't there yet. And I thought we'd get a chance later, but
yeah, cause they had, the Tiny Town Day and I don't think that was one of the days where I wasn't there yet.
Yeah, I think it was on like the first day.
So. Yeah. I think I wasn't there yet either.
And then I figured we might be able to get a game in later, but just didn't work out. So
yeah.
What about you, BP?
Yeah. I mean, anything pre-industrial medieval-esque tends to catch my attention.
Yeah, I was going to say anything AEG, probably I'm going to pick it up just at least to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, AEG, Josh Wood did Cat Lady, so I like him. I don't know that we played a Peter McPherson, but I could be wrong.
This is his first game.
Okay. But, you know, I like that AEG kind of has like a group of designer developers that all kind of pitch in. So it, I don't know. I don't really know what pattern building is.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll find out.
Pattern building is a system where players place game components in specific patterns in order to gain specific or variable game results. For example, placing chips on 2, 4, 6, 8 on a board gets the player an action card they can use later in the game.
I definitely tuned out on that.
Could this be like Mad King Ludwig? Or is this more like this, the Sprawlopolis like we played the other day?
Nope. Castles of Mad King Ludwig, when I sorted by rank on BGG for games that have this mechanic, Castles of Mad King Ludwig is the second one.
Okay.
Azul is the top one. Welcome to is in here. King Domino.
Yeah. So we played quite a few. Yeah. We just don't know what it is. So, yeah. All right. I guess we'll discuss our experience after.
Yeah. I don't think we've played a game like this type of pattern building.
Oh,
I mean, now I'm intrigued. We don't know what the game is, so.
Yeah. Okay, well, this goes with part of my history lesson. So at first I was just going to like say, you know, Rise of Towns, et cetera. But then like when you were reading it off and then thinking about pattern building, when I get to the section in medieval history where I start to talk about the rise of towns in like the 10th and 11th century, one of the things that I like to show is kind of a series of urban planning. It's something that kind of traces back to when I talk about Greeks and when Greeks went out and colonized, how they brought their urban planning with them. The same with Romans, right? And Roman towns were all, especially as they built the empire, very laid out, right? In kind of a fort army formations. And then when I get to the medieval town section, I kind of contrast all of that kind of idea of urban planning to the more organic development of medieval towns, right? So like when you think of some of these medieval towns, you usually think of like a center that probably has a church in the middle, and then it's got all these like windy, narrow, right, almost alleyways that go in between the houses, and maybe it's usually been enclosed by some sort of walls, which, of course, you know, very expensive because all the stone. And then you can see a pattern in some of these towns of building out, you know, say, starting in the 10th century and then by the 12th and 13th century, how they've had to build new walls that are larger and larger, and how, right, there's then just kind of this organic development outside of the walls of the suburbs. So like that really, the description of the game and then that mechanic of pattern building reminds me more of that kind of organic medieval, development that isn't necessarily was, you know, pre-planned where, you know, on the highest point, we have to have the temples, the Acropolis and the marketplace all kind of in this one section and our temples in these other sections. It was more like, okay, there's the church and we're going to use the church as a marketplace. And now we're going to just kind of develop off of there, but ooh, tanners really stink. So let's like put them like the furthest away from us, et cetera. So yeah, there you go. I'm hoping there's some tanners that we have to lay down and get to talk about how they just threw stuff in rivers and water was really bad to drink and all that jazz.
It's not that in depth, but there are some placements.
So how do we play this game, Kiwi?
That's a good question. All right. So your town.
Are we still going to be excited after?
I thought one of you guys were supposed to teach this. So your town is represented by a 4x4 grid on which you're going to place resource cubes in specific layouts in order to construct buildings. Each of the buildings scores victory points in a unique way. And then when no player can place any more resources or construct any buildings, the game is over. And any squares without a building are worth -1 points. The player with the most points is the winner. All right, so the turns are going to be led by a master builder, and the first round's master builder is going to be the person who most recently constructed something in real life.
I'm going to go with Kiwi on that one. You did put together some IKEA furniture for me.
I also put together a trash can yesterday.
Oh, that's true.
But that's not construction.
No, but the IKEA, I definitely built some IKEA stuff
I'm still not sure that's construction.
On New Year's Eve.
But I feel like no matter how far back in time we go, you're the only one who's ever constructed.
Okay.
I don't know that. Unless you're talking digital stuff, I don't think I've ever constructed much.
It doesn't say. It just says recently constructed something in real life. Okay, so during the turn, the master builder is going to announce one of the five resources. Wood, which is represented by brown cubes. Wheat, which is designated by yellow cubes. Brick, which is red cubes. Glass, which is blue cubes. And stone, which is gray cubes. Each player is going to take a cube of that color and place it anywhere on their board, not already occupied by another cube or a building. If a player cannot place a cube or they refuse to place a cube, their game ends. Players construct a building if they have the correct colors in the correct shape, as shown on the cards that are in the center of the table. The shape can be flipped, rotated, mirrored, as long as the resource configuration matches the card. You'll then remove those cubes and you'll place a matching building in one of the newly cleared spaces. So an example is the farm, which shows like a 2x2 kind of square that has two wheat cubes on the top and then two wood cubes on the bottom. However, you could rotate it so you could have those two wood cubes on the left side and the two wheat cubes on the right side, and that would still construct a farm. But you couldn't say have the wheat cubes yellow in opposite corners and then the wood in opposite corners, because that doesn't match the, you know, two yellow, two brown next to each other.
Is this kind of like cartographers and where you're filling in squares?
Yeah, when I was reading the rules, I definitely got a cartographer's vibe. I think the big difference is you are putting the cubes together to construct buildings, where in cartographers, you're kind of, once you put it down, it doesn't change.
Mm.
Is he just having us play a rolling rate that's not a rolling rate?
No. Once all the players have placed their resources and constructed any available buildings, the master builder token is passed clockwise and we play another round. One of the other things we're going to do is we're going to add in monuments. So every player is going to get two cards that are secret to them. They're going to select one of them. And then they have the opportunity during the game to build that monument, and they will reveal it when they're ready to construct it. And it will give them a special set of victory points that they can get. Once all the players can no longer place a resource or they choose or cannot construct any buildings, the game is over. And we're going to do scoring per each of the building cards. Before we do that, we're going to take any remaining resource cubes off the board, unless they're on the warehouse, which we won't be using the warehouse. We're going to use the suggested starting buildings per the rule book. So we're going to have a chapel, a farm, a tavern, a well, a theater, and a factory.
Ooh, a theater. And yep. A factory, and then, what kind of factory? What are we?
It just says a factory.
You get to decide. You're the narrator of this story.
Yeah. So each empty space that's get left once you remove the resources, that's going to be -1 to your score. And then the player with the most points is the winner.
We need to make a game where, like, the least points wins.
It's called golf.
That's true.
A golf board game.
I mean, golf video games are pretty popular.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't particularly care for golf, and I still played the shit out of some Tiger Woods golf on PlayStation, so.
So there you go. Somebody needs to develop a golf board game.
What non-victory points. Yeah. And you don't want them.
I don't even know how to bring this back to the game that we are actually playing. So, yeah, let's play.
We just finished a game of Tiny Towns. To recap, Kiwi had 18 points. BP and I were tied with 19 points. We had the same number of turns, so it came to the next tiebreaker, which was BP winning with the fewest empty squares. I had 6 empty squares and BP only had 4. So BP winning strategy.
Woohoo! None.
Build well, in stuff. The end, it was build wells.
Yeah, in the end, it was build wells too, because that was how I screwed myself into only having spaces that could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then people, yeah.
It worked. I think.
Yeah.
I think you could say instead of no plan was, you know, you kind of kept it simple. Like, I think Kiwi and I had grand plans that just fell apart. Yes.
Yep.
You know, where's your sort of cottage well system worked?
Build with what you were given. Although, like, I feel like, though, I mean, once I built my factory and then I had to choose, like, I was the first one to build a factory and I was just like, I don't know. Like, I was just building a factory because people kept calling out brick, you know, and like,
yeah,
I didn't know what else to do with it. So, and then I picked and I never used my factory, whereas like you guys used your factory. So I feel like if I had picked maybe a different resource, maybe my board would have turned out and I wouldn't have won. Who knows?
Yeah.
I was just playing with what I was given.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you build the factory early, you don't really know. But like I built mine later in the game. So I kind of had a guess of like, wow, I don't think I need any more of wood because I don't know.
Right.
Right.
But yeah, I think I had a real good plan of my city layout, and then Kiwi screwed it all over.
Yeah, well, you guys screwed me over because I had the same thing. So I knew I wanted to build my monument as quick as I can. And that was like the first thing that I built because that kept me as close. Because had I not had it, I would have been like way out of the game. So I tried to build that as quickly as I could because that was my, if you fuck up, this will save you card.
Yep.
And then after that, I had a grand plan for my town, but then you guys kept calling resources I didn't need. And so my town just filled up with resources.
And I think it accidentally happened to me, whereas we intentionally licked a Kiwi's board.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I did. I had a couple issues where my normal, you know, spatial awareness issues, and I put things in the wrong order. And
yeah, if you hadn't screwed that over, I wonder if you would have beat me.
Maybe, because I would have had I definitely could have gotten those cottages in. I don't know. Who knows? Yep. But it would have looked pretty. I think I was pretty focused on making a nice looking town and not so much the scoring.
And then building your row of taverns.
Yeah, then, well, that was actually just because I screwed everything else up. And then I was like, well, screw it. I'm just going to have a tavern row. And then Kiwi foiled that plan.
Well, I got far less cottages in because you guys foiled that plan.
Anything we can do to screw you over, Kiwi.
Yeah, well, noted.
You look like you're doing much better than you turned out to do.
Yeah.
All right, so what do we think of the theme, BP?
I actually really enjoyed it. I mean, I felt like it was somewhat medieval. I'm going to stick with that idea. I feel like it was that, or at least for me, that organic town planning where you're given a resource. Now figure out how to fit it into your open spaces. And I mean, if you look at mine, I've got like the farm up in the upper left-hand corner. I did try to plan that out early on and put it kind of on the outside. And then what is that? My chapel? I mean, it's outside, but then it was, I almost forgot about wells and where those needed to go next to cottages. Cause then I started putting cottages outside so I could try to like build a town in the center. And that all went out the window and it was just, here's a space build. And I feel like that's how a medieval town was designed.
Yeah, it definitely ended up being less urban planning and more just here's a spot build.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, like this building fits in this spot, so this building is going in that spot.
Well, I guess I need this now. Build it somewhere.
This is always where I needed this well.
Which is how I ended up with four wells.
There's definitely BP's town definitely had like a promotion of like, you know, build a house, get a well.
Yeah, every house gets their own well.
People are well watered.
You know.
Yes, yeah. Pun intended. Oh,
you live in Shelbyville and you got to walk to get your water. Move here and you get one right outside your house.
We're better than those Shelbyville people.
Yeah, I think the theme worked. It definitely came off more medieval as we were playing with sort of like tavern and inns and, you know, farms. I guess we still have farms. That's a bad example. Trading post, almshouse, you know.
Yeah. And even with the banks, because, of course, banks came about around the 13th century with banking houses like the Medicis.
Yep.
Granaries. I don't know that we still have granaries. Feast halls. So
we should still have feast halls. That would
we should definitely have feast halls.
Technically a restaurant, I guess.
An event center.
Yeah, an event center.
Yeah, but feast hall sounds cooler. So
yeah, exactly.
Next time I run an event, I'm gonna be like, all right, we're gonna go down to the feast hall.
Let me know when you have an event, Kiwi.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to happen, so I don't have to worry about it.
It's a feast hall to himself.
I rented this for me.
All right.
Just have a feast hall.
Yep.
Art and components, BP.
I mean, it was great. I mean, the cards were a little difficult to read, but I think all in all, they seem to work. And the little components seem to make sense.
Yeah, I think the key with these cards is sort of the grid layout, which came across pretty clearly. The actual art on the cards.
I mean, it's
I didn't really pay attention to it, though.
Yeah, exactly.
As it, like, I'm comparing this to like Everdell, which is a similar
critter
village thing. And we were much more like, oh, look at this card. Look at this card. Whereas, like, you know. I don't know really why, going back to kind of theme too, is like, I don't really know why they did the whole critter thing. Why wasn't it just a medieval town?
A regular
like,
town.
That didn't really, that seemed kind of like they're maybe just trying to capitalize on, you know, people like animals.
Well, I also think maybe it might, you know, maybe people don't like, if it was like a human town, they'd be like, well, resources, you just get whatever you want. But, oh, these are animals and they can't collect the same amount of resources because they're small and tiny. So maybe like that's where the limited resource, but I agree.
That's a bit
like,
of a stretch.
I think it could have been, I was just trying to come up with something like maybe, but yeah, it's definitely a stretch.
It could have worked as a critter town, but like then the art should have been more like, you know, Everdell had like, you know, oh, like it's a tree house is kind of like a more animal thing, but this is just human buildings. And then they threw the critter thing in, which is.
Yeah. I don't even think there's like critters in these pictures. It's just some of the buildings.
The monuments.
Oh, that one has like a bird in the trading post one. Oh, there's a couple of mice outside the chapel.
Almost an afterthought to throw the critters back in. I mean, but I think the components are nice. I think it's just it's clear. It's not like over cluttered. Like I'm thinking, you know, the most recent game we played, Great Western Trail, where like everything was just so busy. You know, this is at least clear. Yeah, but I'd say it's also a little bland, just like, okay, yeah, let's put a picture of a chapel. It looks like a church. You know, here's a picture of a fountain. It looks like a fountain.
Yeah, it gets the job done, but it doesn't really go beyond that.
Yeah, it's like the art's not bad. No, it's just doesn't really serve a point.
I actually like the style, the kind of like painted kind of look. It just, the mechanics, Kiwi, how about that? Pattern building.
Yeah.
I think there's more to it than that.
Yeah. I mean, as I was reading it, I was like, I think Eric's going to struggle with this one. Cause I think sometimes with like the pattern building and putting stuff out, you tend to like struggle a little bit more.
Yep. Suck at the Tetris games.
Yep. Suck at Tetris. So I knew that was going to be a factor. I felt again, I think he was the only one that like messed up placing colors to get that one cottage.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you know, shapes are hard enough. Now you're throwing colored shapes in there and it's
What game did we play the other day that we were like, oh, Eric would really hate this game?
It was either Seasons of Rice or Sprawlopolis.
To be clear, I actually have enjoyed almost all of these Tetris style games we've played. I struggle with them. But I think they're fun.
I definitely wasn't like, oh, Eric's gonna hate this. I was in my head, I was like, Eric's gonna struggle.
Yeah.
But I thought the mechanics worked well with the theme of the game and how it was, everything was going, like how, you know, building the buildings and putting them all together. It definitely made you like try to think ahead a little bit, but you couldn't think too far ahead because as soon as someone called wheat, like your whole plan goes out the window.
Yeah, I think it kind of went with what BP said, where you have this great vision and then like real life, it all goes to shit.
Yeah.
BP?
Mechanics?
So when we first started, you said, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be.
I don't know why I did not think that the cards would all like, I guess I thought that we would be pulling the cards a little bit more like Cartographers, I think, even though now that I think about with Cartographers, the cards are all laid out for you in the beginning. And so you can be planning kind of ahead, so to speak. The layout reminds me more of Azul, which is one of the ones that Kiwi brought up. But that's just, I don't know. I was thinking more that there would be a board pattern to it, but I don't know why I thought that. Yeah.
The only thing I'll add is like, I think it, the unique kind of take of, okay, here's your Tetris piece, but then it turns into a single structure.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool, I thought. So then you have, you're not only in thinking like, how do I put this piece down? But you have to think in the future of like, well, I'm going to put the building in this spot so it keeps these spaces open to build the next thing. And that's a whole nother level.
Yeah,
so I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, there was a couple of buildings where I was like, okay, I could build this, but no, wait, I need to build this other thing first so that I can get it in this one spot, and then I'll build that one thing.
Yep. What about the rules on your side, Kiwi?
They're super easy. The whole game is basically one page in the rule book, and most of that page is taken up by a building construction example. And then the next page is scoring, and most of that, half of that page is taken up by a scoring example, which by the way, the scoring example got 28 points and only had two empty squares. So we sucked real bad.
I still don't think we sucked.
Yeah. The whole rule book is only 8 pages long, and it's very well laid out, easy to read. The examples are very helpful and good. So
do you think part of that has to do with AEG? Like, I don't know. I think they are so professional and they've just been doing this for so long that they just are really good.
I don't know. I've seen some companies that have been around that put out a crappy rule book.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think of it, remember like with Ecos BP, we had to look up a couple things, and that's from AEG too.
So that's,
I think,
true,
it depends. I think generally speaking, I think their rule books are better, but there are definitely times like Ecos would be an example where there was definitely some stuff where we had to look it up.
Yeah.
Still a great game, but
yeah, we had to Google a couple times.
We had to Google a couple things. I think with this game, you don't need to Google.
Player interaction. I mean, we were kind of interacting a lot, so I felt like that. But in terms of, I mean, you're going to screw each other over. I just don't know how intentional it is.
I did not look at your boards until the end when I needed to call something out and I wanted to screw Kiwi over.
Yeah, I looked at Kiwi's board at the beginning just because I didn't know what was going on. But then once I figured it out, I didn't pay attention till like you said, we were basically out of the game, and then it just became, you know, mess up Kiwi.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say that's really an innate part of the game. That was just us.
Yeah. I mean, but in terms of other games, whereas like, you know, I felt like Great Western Trail, I felt like I was playing a solo game. Whereas with this game, like there's some forced interaction, even if it's, you know, even if BP wasn't looking at our boards, the fact that you had to pay attention to other people because their turn directed what you did on your board. And it wasn't even really their turn. It was just, they were the one who got to call out the resource like that. There's definitely interaction. You're going to interact more than, you know, games like Great Western Trail or even games like, you know, Welcome To, you know, because there's no player interaction really in Welcome To.
Right. Yeah, I think we could kind of narrow it down to like, you know, direct player interaction with a game like
Kitchen Rush,
direct player interaction, indirect player interaction, which is more like this, where we're talking, we're communicating, everyone's sort of involved. And then like no player interaction, like Great Western Trail, where, like you said, it's basically a solo game. So this falls kind of in the indirect, and it's not necessarily like bad. It's just, you know, different.
I agree with that.
And I do like that kind of, because AEG, because Ecos does this too. They're doing these like everyone takes the action at the same time kind of thing. So there's no real downtime in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which I think is
kind of important.
If you're going to have limited player interaction or indirect, like you need to keep everybody playing. Because if you're playing a solo game and I got to wait 20 minutes between turns, like why am I?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a detriment to play with other people.
Right.
So
or to play and to play with a lot of other people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's good. I like I said, we're definitely engaged in talking and all that kind of stuff. It's just, it's not direct like conflict.
Yeah. Unless the other players gang up and figure out what cube would screw over the other player.
Would that ever happen in our game group, Kiwi?
All right. And then would you play it again? BP.
Yes. It was fun. It was quick, light, but still, you know, and now I want to try to build monuments and actually do some of these other ones with the bank. I don't know like how much replayability, like if it's going to be one that would be over and over and over again, where I feel like with Cartographer, you kind of can because there's enough variation, but I definitely would play it a couple more times with, especially with different people as well.
Kind of like a lot of the Polyomino games where
they're you just light. Wanted to get that word in again.
Fine. It's kind of like all the Tetris games. The other ones we've played where they're kind of light, but heavy. Like there's a lot of thinking involved. Like I remember Paris, like that was a quick 30 mm-hmm. minute game that seemed very like, it just seemed quick and easy, but it was a lot of thinking. Like it was mentally mm-hmm. stressful. I feel like this could be the same way.
Which I feel like is good. We are attracted to those types of games. I think that challenge various parts of our brain that we don't normally engage in.
Right. And we like more, I think, medium weight stuff because we do like mm-hmm. the decision making, but we don't like to sit for 4 hours playing Great Western Trail.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would play it again. I think it kind of has the same issue as Castles of Mad King Ludwig, where you kind of have this plan and you're like, I want to build this really cool castle or design this really cool town, and then it all goes to shit. And that's a little disappointing. But I think that's kind of the complaint I've heard about Castles of Mad King, where like, oh, it kind of ends before you really get the castle you want in. It's like, I could see this kind of having the same kind of complaint. If you really like to complete things, it could be very annoying to you.
How about you, Kiwi?
Yeah, I would totally do it. I think this one has more variability actually than Cartographers. So Cartographers, you have four categories, but there's four cards in each category. This one has six different categories with four cards each. So statistically speaking, there are more variations to this one than there are in Cartographers. I think the big thing that Cartographers has is a much bigger play area. And you're not trying to build the shape. You're just drawing in the shapes that you see. I did really enjoy this game. I would definitely play it again. And it would be a game that I would recommend to other people, I think.
I wasn't even going to ask him if he'd play it again because it seemed like a waste of time.
He would. Yeah. It was interesting to hear his input or his insight and have his comparison to Cartographers, although I don't know that I always agree with stats on certain things, but yeah. Podcasting Camel says, if you have any recommendations that you would like to send our way, that you would like to hear in the year 2020, our impressions on, please send them our way. You can do it old-fashioned email, firstturntabletop@gmail.com, or hit us up on the Twitter or Instagram @firstturncast. And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. And we look forward to hearing from you. Have a great 2020. Play more games.
Tetris. So I knew that that was going to be a
what
factor.
What was that game we played the other day, you, Kiwi? But
I felt...
Oh, he was talking.
We did terribly.
How are you supposed to do well at this?
I don't know. I had a great plan.
Like, I feel like I did fantastic. I did not do terribly. I did the best with what I could. I'm gonna go for Brett.